This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for June 2015. Tonight, headlines from Hamilton Conference, presidential comment and headquarters news. That and more on tonight's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the official broadcast, I'm Jim Meachins at L2BHF in Nelson. We start tonight with key points from the NZART AGM and conference held at the Te Rapa Racecourse in Hamilton over Queen's Birthday weekend. About 120 people registered for the conference. Subscriptions for 2016 remain the same as for 2015, with a rebate applicable if paid by the 30th of November. Currently, there are 200 plus members who have yet to renew for 2015. If membership continues to decline, a subscription increase will be necessary in 2017. A mini call book will be produced again this year. Our IARU liaison officer Don Wallace at L2TLL will attend the WAC 2015 conference in Geneva. Furthermore, thanks to membership generosity and after a resolution passed at the AGM, money is available from your donations to finance one delegate, Don 2TLL, and Terry ZL3QL as an observer to the IARU Region 3 conference in Bali in September. The new NZART Vice President is Phil Holliday, ZL3PAH. To remits. Remit 1 concerning the forming of a working group to investigate the inadequate uptake of amateur radio as a hobby in New Zealand was carried on Voices. Remit 2 about setting up a working group to investigate updating the New Zealand amateur exam database was carried on Voices. Remit 3 concerning the date of the holding of NZRT conference was carried on vote count of 62.75% of transmitting members. The ZL1HV Jumbo Godfrey Award this year was awarded to the late Lee Jennings, ZL2AL, Alan Dale, ZL1ABL, and Colin Rowe, ZL3COL. The Rothschild Cup was awarded to Otago Branch 30 for 10 successful passes in the amateur radio examination in 2014. Best examination result in the under 18 years of age category went to Daniel J. Walden, ZL4DU, being the youngest person at 17 years of age to pass the amateur exam in 2014. Daniel received a certificate and a VHF UHF FM handheld radio sponsored by Nelson Sound. The Stirrers Award, well, it was presented to outgoing President Vaughan Henderson, ZL1VH, for not heeding advice from the business manager Debbie regarding meeting procedures to ensure there was a quorum before passing a motion from the floor. Now look for more reports from conference in your next issue of Break-In. Now it's time for presidential comment. Here's our NZRT president, Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW. Stuart?
Hello everyone from the mainland. At our AGM in Hamilton, it was my privilege to take over as NZRT president from Vaughan ZL1VH, so this is my first broadcast in this role. Vaughan has served the association well, and I would like to acknowledge his contribution. Your new council met on the Monday following the AGM with new councillors Don McDonald, ZL3DMC, and Alex Gordon, ZL4ARG. At that meeting, Council discussed Remit 1 and 2, which were passed at the AGM. Remit 3 was also passed, but only requires the administrative change to the Constitution concerning the date of the Association's AGM. Concerning Remit 1, Council has chosen to focus more on the second part of this remit concerning recruitment and training of amateurs. The first part of the remit makes the comment that we have a lower rate of recruitment of new amateurs compared to other countries. However, when you look at rates in Australia, things are not dissimilar here. We do have several branches in New Zealand that have successfully attracted amateurs to many weekend classes and then seen them through to gaining call signs. Council feels that time is better spent on learning from what is being done right in New Zealand rather than doing partly what the remit requires, reporting on what has been done wrong. A group in council has been appointed to look at what can be learned from those successful branches and develop a system that can be adopted. Work on Remit 1 could have implications for the examination question bank, so work on Remit 2, which concerns that, will be deferred for a period and I will keep you updated. Last Friday, along with Don Wallace, ZL2TLL, our administration liaison officer, and I met with Jeff Hicks, manager of Radio Spectrum Management, and Len Starling, manager of Radio Spectrum Policy and Planning at the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment in Wellington. We thank them for the excellent presentation given at the Hamilton Annual General Meeting by Radio Inspector Mike Beard. We discussed possible future updates to the amateur examination syllabus. We also discussed ways to keep the amateur client records up to date, and Jeff Hicks asked us to remind our members that they must keep Radio Spectrum Management updated with their contact details. Silent keys in the database were discussed, and it was clarified that on receipt of a newspaper death notice or a funeral service sheet, Debbie can make the necessary changes. Our desire to see an increased allocation at 5 MHz was raised, and we were assured that the New Zealand government continues to support us in our desire to have an international amateur allocation at 5 MHz. But whether this occurs, and if it does, and what it will look like, for example, a piece of spectrum or individual channels, will depend on the outcome of negotiations at the World Radio Conference this November in Geneva. We were able to point out that the 5 MHz channels we have permission to use at present have been extremely useful for AREC purposes. Finally, given the analog TV switch-off, an initial approach was made expressing interest in an allocation at 220 MHz, as exists in ITU Region 2. Our interest was noted, however, a review of the future use of the spectrum is not a ministry priority at this stage. As a new president, I found this meeting particularly valuable. While in Wellington, I attended the Wellington VHF Group monthly meeting, and it was nice to meet the members there as a new president. I will make an effort to meet with other branches around the country, travel plans permitting. As announced in the last NZART info line, Stephen Hayman has chosen to resign from council. This was effective soon after the AGM, and his resignation occurred through Section 3.7, Part A of the NZART Constitution. This section states that any councillor that is absent from three consecutive council meetings without leave of absence has deemed to have resigned. The last two meetings missed by Stephen were the Friday and Monday face-to-face meetings at Hamilton, and I can say that Stephen stayed at the same accommodation as the meeting venue. I can assure you that Stephen was given every chance to stay on board. As a result, we have a casual council vacancy in the northern region, and I will contact branches in the area to ask for suggestions for a person to fill this role. Council has also appointed John Walker, ZL3IB, as a temporary editor of Breakin. This will come as a surprise to members, but at this stage I will say the decision to make the change was not at all made lightly. A more complete explanation will be in the next edition of Breakin. I will say at this stage that communication between Stephen and Council and I had completely broken down. A totally unacceptable position. Once again, Stephen was given every chance to stay on board. If you have sent any copy for publication that has not yet appeared in Breakin, I would be most grateful if you could resend it to John Walker. His email is editor@nzart.org.nz. I'll read that again. editor@nzart.org.nz. A quick word about Debbie Morgan's workload at the NZART office, especially in relation to call sign applications. If your branch is planning to have a number of people attend a weekend class to become radio amateurs, please give Debbie advance warning to help her plan her workload, and she will give you a realistic time frame for issuing call signs for a group. You will be aware of the recent fundraising effort to cover the cost of sending Don's at L2TLL, our ALO, to the WRC in Geneva later this year. Due to an oversight, the contribution of the considerable sum of $2,000 to this fund by the Christchurch branch has not been mentioned, and I would like to thank the members of Branch 5 for this. I would like to make a final comment to you about the great resource we have in our allocated spectrum. A few nights ago, while tuning across 80 metres, I heard ZL2CD calling CQ. I replied and had a pleasant QSO with Peter and Napier. We are unique in having the privilege of being able to tune freely across our bands without being anchored to fixed channels. It would be great to hear more of you on our bands, whatever the wavelength or mode. That's all from me. Good night.
Thank you, Stuart, the president of NZRT, Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW. A reminder tonight from the Whangarei Amateur Radio Club of their annual junk sale and dinner to be held at their club rooms on Saturday the 18th of July. Now, doors open for buyers at 10:30 a.m. Tables 900mm are just $10 and available on the day, if not all pre-sold. Donations of saleable items for the club table, well, they're gratefully accepted, but please no absolute rubbish items, as they don't sell and they cost money to dump. There'll be plenty of food for sale, sandwiches, cakes, sausages, bread, tea, coffee, Milo, you name it, they'll have it. After the sale, the afternoon is left free for you to do your own thing. In the evening, there'll be the usual scrumptious three-course dinner at the Branch 28 warm and comfortable club rooms. How about soup, roast and dessert with a quiz to follow? Meet and chat at 6 p.m. with dinner served at 6:30 and all for $15 a person. Table and meal bookings to Brian Wingers at L1BSW, phone 027-4913-888. 027-4913-888 or email bwinger@extra.co.nz and do that by the 14th of July. For inquiries or further information, telephone Charlie Motes, ZL1DAC, at 09-434-7292 or email charliemotes@extra.co.nz. That's the Whangarei Amateur Radio Club annual junk sale and dinner just 3 weeks away on Saturday the 18th of July. To Upper Hutt we go now, and it's a very good evening to the NZART business manager, Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Regrettably, I have to inform those branches who are interested in taking up the public liability cover, due to the small number who have accepted the offer, the cost is now prohibitive. Originally, 18 branches expressed interest in this offer. Once a premium payable by each branch, which reduced to 9, the reduction in numbers, the premium increased by over $100. A further letter was sent to those still interested, and this has now dropped only to 5, so it will not be financially viable for NZART to continue negotiations on your behalf. I will be sending a letter to those branches. I am sorry for the long delays between offers, however, understand that many branches did have to ask their members if the premium was acceptable. Finally, it's pretty much all for me this month, other than to let you know that headquarters will be closed from Friday, the 17th of July, until Tuesday, the 4th of August. I'm off on a much-needed holiday with my mate, Topsy ZL2LS. That's all from me, Jim. Back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, our NZART business manager. To amateur radio news on the international scene. And tonight I quote from a posting by the Amateur Radio Newsline's David Black, KB4KCH, from Newsline's South Bureau in Birmingham, Alabama. The amateur radio community lost one of its strongest supporters when Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, passed away in Los Angeles the evening of June 11th. He was 73. The long-time executive producer, creator, and brains behind the Amateur Radio Newsline weekly news broadcasts had been failing in health the past few months. It's not an exaggeration to say that Pasternak put amateur radio on the world map. Bill brought people together from around the planet who otherwise would never have connected with each other. Pasternak's work in promoting amateur radio's cause enabled people to see ham radio for what it really is, a far-reaching community of often lifelong friends from every walk of life, every income, every age bracket, every country, and every socio-economic background, joined together by their mutual love of communications. Pasternak's dedication to covering and promoting amateur radio was relentless. How many ventures can you cite where a single person enlists the assistance of people in different nations who agree to provide time, effort, and are even motivated to spend money to the cause of providing information while never getting paid a dime? That is exactly what Bill pulled off in building Newsline's network of anchors and reporters that extend around the world. With professional broadcasters, journalists, radio clubs, magazine contacts, and other regular contributors from around the globe, Newsline quickly became a prestigious and credible news-gathering organization. Others tried to copy Newsline, but what Bill had created had no equal. From US senators to federal government agency leaders to corporate heads to radio hobbyist groups, the people network Pasternak built was second to none. I am extremely lucky to have been able to call Bill Pasternak not just a work associate, but much more than that, a friend. Today, people around the world feel an emptiness. I'm one of them. And those fine words from Newsline's David Black, KB4KCH, about Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6, ITF, who became a silent key on June the 11th. Well, what of Newsline? We had excerpts monthly on this official broadcast. It's just a matter of time now waiting for the Newsline board to meet and see how things pick up and get underway once again. And I thank David Black, KB4KCH, for that material that he had written and posted about Bill Pasternak. It's time now for Waro News on the broadcast. It's a very good evening to Rosemary, ZL1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. We had a good attendance for the Waro Annual General Meeting held during conference at Hamilton. Sadly, there were some regular attendees who were unable to be with us this year, and they were very much missed. NZRT President Stewart, ZL2TW, visited our meeting for a short time with Fred, VK3DAC, Vice President of WIA, and Stephen, ZL1TBH, Editor of Breakin. I can tell you that there are no changes in our executive this year. Cathy, ZL280K, remains President, with Marlene, ZL1MYL, Vice President. The Secretary is Val, ZL2FO, and the Treasurer is Heather, ZL2TYF. All the committee members and appointed members remain the same as last year. The results of the Thelma Super Memorial Contest were announced at the Waro AGM, and the first YL was Bev, ZL3OV, with Jeanette, ZL3DYL second, and Nari, ZL2UJT third. In the OM section, the winner was Wayne, ZL2AYB. Congratulations to you all. Nari ZL2UJT was presented with her third place certificate during the Waro AGM, and the trophy and the other certificates will be presented to the winners at a later date. Hamilton Market Day is being held on Saturday the 8th of August, and YLs will get together for morning tea as usual. This event is an opportunity for Waro YLs to gather together, and I must remind you that any YL is welcome to come along and join us for a cuppa and a chat. You do not have to be a Waro member to attend these informal morning teas. The bulletin will be in your inboxes very soon, with a reminder that subs are now due, as well as heaps of interesting information for you to read. I hope you are remembering to send the bulletin on to your sponsored DXYLs. That's all for this month, Jim. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Rosemary. Reporting for Waro, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. Now, as usual, the ZL Memorial Contest will be held the first weekend of July. This annual event is to help commemorate those New Zealand amateur radio operators who lost their lives in World War II. Now, it's an easy short-duration contest and an ideal starter for someone new to amateur radio and contesting. The rules are unchanged from 2014, except for dates, of course, and they, together with summary and log sheet templates, are available on the NZRT webpage. Look under Activities and then Contest Rules. That information from the NZRT Contest Manager, Frank ZL2BR. Finally, in tonight's official broadcast lineup, it's Branch News. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. From the 29er, newsletter of North Shore Branch 29 NZART, the next meeting is on Monday, July the 6th at 400 East Coast Road in Sunnynook on the North Shore. The evening will see a wine quiz with Vardy, ZL1BXD. The Franklin Amateur Radio Club, Branch 10 NZART, has a junk sale on Tuesday the 21st of July at the clubrooms on Stadium Drive in Pukekohe, starting 7:30pm. And finally, to Branch 50 NZART, the Wellington Amateur Radio Club, where the next meeting is on Wednesday the 15th of July at the Lutheran Church Hall, King Street in Newtown, starting 7:30pm. There will be a talk by Bob ZL2AVM on Marconi, entitled Communications in Cornwall. Okay, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. The next issue of NZRT Headquarters InfoLine will be emailed next Friday, that's the 3rd of July. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8pm on Sunday, the 26th of July. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the NZART official broadcast for June 2015. Good night, everyone. Good night now.